south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started. Welcome to what I hope will be the final segment of How to Put Together Johnny's Own Essential Travel Kit. In the last few programs, I've been trying to put together a list of all the little nitty-gritty things that I pack or stuff in my pockets when I travel and explore. And along the way in the past few shows, I've been giving away a lot of hints and tips that a lot of veteran expats and I have used when we're out on the road. And you'll probably notice that if you take all the little items that I've recommended and you pack them all into one space, combined, they take up no more room than about a half of a small shoebox. So, what other stuff do I carry and I think you'll really need? How about your standard-sized box of dental floss? It's not just for your teeth, though you males out there, note, it works for that too. But other than that, you'll find 101 uses for that stuff too. Basically, it's the thinnest, strongest, most durable string you're going to get besides a spool of 20-pound test fishing line or nylon string, which I used to bring along for all-purpose wrapping and tying and practically anything else you might happen to need some string for. I used to bring along that extra stuff until I realized your standard dental floss works just as well and it packs and dispenses a little nicer too. Just try it and you'll know what I mean. And since we're concerned with size here, my suggestion is next time you go to your dentist or dental hygienist, ask for extra samples of dental floss. They always skimp out and give you the miniature ones, and that's exactly the size we want. Just perfect for our travel kit. And they're free, kind of. After you've paid $75 for a teeth cleaning, that is. And no, I'm not going to tell you how much it costs to get your teeth cleaned down here in Latin America because I don't want to make you cry. We'll talk more about dental stuff in a future show, so stay tuned. Now, another nice thing you should pack, of course, is one of those tiny little sewing kits that high-end hotels like Hilton's and Clarion's give you for free in your room. Always grab one of those little things and shove it in your travel kit. And by the way, did you know that almost every hotel, no matter how many stars it has or doesn't have, has tiny sewing kits like that available at the front desk for free if you ask? So ask, and then stick it in your own travel kit. Oh, and here's something that's always come in handy for me, but very few people think about it. I always recommend you throw in your travel pack two of the skinniest, most flexible bungee cords you can find. I always take a 2-footer and a 3-footer along, but get the ones with the skinny diameter cord, not the fat ones. We need them flexible and we need them small, you know? And it's okay to go cheap on these things too. $3 to $5 for both of them will do the trick. And those things have a million uses too. And of course, you can string two bungee cords together and make them longer as needed. I know you knew that, but a lot of times a bungee cord is just too long, and if you wrap it around the object twice, it's too short again. So how do you solve that? Well, the simple and dirty trick there is to tie one or two or three knots in it, because that'll shorten it up and doesn't ruin the bungee cord. You could take those knots out later, or not. Excuse the pun. So basically, a couple of bungee cords like that can be infinitely flexible. You just got to play around with them a bit. Oh, and don't forget to bring a very cheap, tiny MP3 player. They're everywhere these days. Yeah, of course, you can go small and high-end and get one of those iPod Nano things, but you could get a no-name brand just as small for a quarter of the price. Just make sure it's got a lithium-ion battery in it, so it's rechargeable in any USB port or in one of those tiny wall adapter USB chargers. And don't laugh, I've seen a lot of gringo tourists, but not long-term expats usually, because they get smarter as time goes on. Anyway, I see a lot of green tourists and newbie expats with MP3 players and cameras and even expensive pocket translators that you can't directly charge. You have to pull the batteries out and regularly recharge them. That means you have to carry a separate charger and the cables around with you too. Just another thing to lose, sit on, get wet, leave behind in your hotel room, or loan to another careless tourist or backpacker who'll lose it or break it for you. Forget about using that method. So get your tiny basic MP3 unit that you can recharge directly. And you know, people do ask me what I load my MP3 up with. Well, I do two things. I download a lot of audiobooks, And my favorite two PRN shows, Gary Nall and Richard Martin. And I'll tell you something else that I do. I download a whole month at a time of Coast to Coast AM radio programs too. Now, I don't know if all of you know what Coast to Coast AM is, but it's a midnight and early morning show started by a guy named Art Bell some 25 years ago or so. And the show specializes in strange and weird topics, including some very good hard science too. Mixed in with a lot of new age mindless fluff like astrology, as well as demons and possessions, reptilians and Nostradamus, Bigfoot and psychic spoon bending kind of stuff too. You know, the woo-woo stuff. So unless I need a good laugh, I just fast forward through that tripe. Basically, half the shows are really educational and entertaining and the other half are for the round file, completely. So I just download the whole month's worth of shows, which is over 100 hours a month, and I just listen to the first 20 seconds or so to figure out what topic they're talking about and who the guest is, and I immediately skip over the Bigfoot, the Bible prophecy, and the astrology crap until I land on a really intelligent topic, like tarot cards and Ouija boards. Just kidding. So when I'm in a car or in a bank or sitting in a cafe, I'm usually kind of multitasking. It's kind of a leftover affliction from the first world. Some of us expats never get over it, you know? And as you probably know, men aren't even supposed to be good at multitasking. And they tell us we can't dance either, but still we try. So if I'm in a restaurant or a cafe or a bank, often I'll be reading the local newspaper and listening to my cheap iPod clone at the same time. And here's the funny thing. Down here in Latin America, when people ask me what I'm listening to, they really think I'm going to blurt out the name of a song or a popular artist like Shakira. And when I tell them I'm listening to Gerald Celente or Michio Kaku or a discussion about abiotic oil, they kind of just nod and walk away, you know? And when locals or gringos ask me if I like Latin music, I always tell them the same thing. It's great if you like to dance. But, like I said, in that respect, us gringo males are a total embarrassment to our culture. And what's worse, we even suck when we sing or hum along to Latin tunes. And thankfully, Latins are nice enough not to laugh or make fun of us when we try. And it's true, on occasion the question does come up amongst us expats. And that question is, do we really like Latin music at all? I mean, Latins did have some crossover music. They had some catchy tunes. La Bamba, Tequila, the Macarena. But when Ricky Martin came out with the Vida Loca, that's when us long-term expats pulled out the vomit bags. But how do expats feel about real Latin rock? That is a huge genre down here. And I'm not talking Latin dance music like Shakira or even Ricky Martin. And by the way, down here, Shakira's still really hot and Ricky Martin's a has-been. He's kind of a Latin Britney Spears. Everyone still knows the name, but no one buys the records anymore, you know? Anyway, the question is, do gringo travelers and expats like Latin rock? Which only really popped up in a big way in the last 10 years as a direct response to gringo rock, which has been around since the 1950s, a half a century. And just so you know, Latins absolutely love American rock and roll. In fact, every medium to large size city down here has a classic rock station in English, and they don't even play any of the real good classic hits, only the syrupy crap by Michael Bolton and Air Supply Phil Collins in Chicago. Actually, a lot of the worst of the 70s and 80s hits. Yuck. And Latins do listen to those stations even though they don't know what the words mean, but they know how to hum the tunes a lot better than we can, I might add. Yeah, I should talk. Like us gringos really understand the words to modern rap and hip-hop. Anyway, because Latins love everything and anything gringo, they've got their own bad copy of gringo rock, which is completely unoriginal in every way. Not to mention they've even copied, quite badly I might add, all the little sub-genres of American rock too. Like heavy metal, soft rock, hard rock, easy listening and goth rock. Their version of Latin punk rock and even Latin Christian rock. And that's just a tiny part of the list. And here's something you're going to find amazing or depressing. Depends on how good an ear you've got. If you ever go to see a Latin rock band play, and you will because if you're down here for any length of time, it's a phenomena that's everywhere. Anyway, as you're listening to these so-called original Latin rock songs, if you listen carefully, you'll recognize whole chunks of songs that were completely ripped off chord for chord, note for note, from some group you're used to listening to up in the States. Oh, and I forgot, they've also got Latin hip-hop and reggae and alternative, new age and house music. And of course, they've got a very active DJ and dance club scene. And of course, copied all that stuff from first world groups too. But thankfully, they've still got that traditional Latin groove going too, like samba, salsa, merengue, bossa nova, tango and cumbia and ranchero. For better or for worse, that's the kind of music that gringos and expats kind of expect to hear when they first land down here. We half expect to hear it pumped out of every doorway and every kiosk and every loudspeaker south of the border. And surely that's because we're so used to the Hollywoodized version of what Latin America is supposed to be like, right? But unfortunately for us nostalgic traditionalists, it's really not much that way at all. In fact, if some of your most favorite jazz or lounge music happens to be bossa nova, Sergio Mendez, and the girl from Ipanema and all that. Oh, and by the way, here's another something you didn't know. The girl from Ipanema, that song, is the second most recorded popular song in the history of music, following right behind guess what number one song of all time. No, no, it's not Bitches Love Me by Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, and Lil Wayne. It's Yesterday by the Beatles. In fact, here's a little sad news for all you first worlders who've never been to South America. When you go down to Brazil, right in the homeland, the heart of where bossa nova started, the only time you ever hear that stuff is in the gringo and tourist hotels, clubs, and bars, which is a shame, really. The reality is, down here in Latin America, only the older generations listen to that kind of music. I'm talking abuelos and abuelas, grandmas and grandpas now. It's kind of been turned into the Muzak of Latin America. In other words, you hear it in elevators and dentist offices and shopping malls and stuff. In fact, it's become kind of like background music to everything. Just like how Broadway musical hits and Burt Bacharach music has become background music in the States. And funny thing, when you turn on the radio down here in Latin America, especially when you're off the tourist trail, every radio station plays its own genre. So you'll have Latin rock stations, Latin classic rock stations, believe it or not, Latin easy listening stations, and Latin stations specializing in traditional salsa, bossa nova, and merengue too. But in sheer listener numbers, those stations are not popular at all with the under 40 crowd. In fact, when you're flipping through the dial and hit one of those stations, any young Latin will make a face and roll their eyes and give you that "you gotta be kidding me" look. It's kind of the same look you get from intelligent expats when they hear rap, hip-hop, or Christian rock. You know what I mean? So even if you're an expat down here for a year or so, you'll never quite figure out what's really happening on the music scene. But it's definitely divided into age groups, just like it is up in the first world. Down here, everyone over 30 or 40 listens to a certain kind of music that they grew up with the more traditional Latin beats and stuff. Whereas people under 30, well, it's mostly about the Latin rock scene and its subgenres. Oh, and let's not forget about reggaeton, which is simply dumbed-down, mind-numbing, throbbing, repetitive dance music. Basically the Latin version of women degrading rap and hip-hop. And like I said in a past show, Latins have a tremendous amount of innate musical talent and rhythm. It's obvious from just the way they dance, right? But unfortunately, they have about zero creativity when it comes to the Latin rock scene. But still, it's taken over and it's a huge market for young people, especially young men and boys. And they're having a great time doing it, so who am I to say? After all, I'm only a permanent visitor here, really, and ever the cynic, right? But let's get back to my essential travel kit. Now, another thing I really suggest you buy is one of those tiny little collapsible umbrellas. They call them travel umbrellas, and unfortunately, these days, most everything's made in China like that. So you could get a real dud if you go buy a cheap one at Costco or Walmart or any of those dollar stores. I've had some of those Chinese cheapies and they usually collapse at the first gust of wind. And you can get some quality expensive ones out there too. But there's one that's like the super travel umbrella of all time called the Devek Mini. That's D-A-V-E-K. But these things cost like 50 bucks or more. But you're talking like the Mercedes-Benz of umbrellas here. And expat Eddie, you know, who's got the dough, he bought a Devek Mini and that thing is just tremendous. It's about 5 or 6 inches long and weighs about a half a pound, so you can slip it in your shirt or your back pocket with ease. Or you can get the Devek that's a little bit bigger, the Traveler Devek. And man, the only problem is, if you misplace it or someone swipes it, it'll be definitely worth crying about. Now, Eddie's got one of these in the glove compartment of his car, and I'm tempted to swipe it myself. But to tell you the truth, I carry around a little Chinese one with me, because, you know, they're only $3 to $5. And as many times as I've been caught in the rain, even the Chinese ones seem adequate. But you don't want to use one of those cheap Chinese things if you're hanging around in the rainy season for a long period of time. Because remember, the rainy season is like 6 months long. It's like a bad Florida rain on steroids. Which brings me to another thing you have to have in your travel kit. An impermeable raincoat with a little hood on it. The kind you can get in any dollar store, and you don't have to pay more than $3 to $5 for that. In fact, I've got one that folds down into a tiny little pack that's about as large as two blackberries stacked on top of each other. But the problem seems to be every time you take it out of the pack, you can never quite get it down to that size again. Anyway, you do need one of those, and don't go spending more than $5 on it. Now, speaking of rain and raincoats, one thing you're going to see when you're down here is a lot of local Latins running around in the rain, mostly trying to catch a bus. Not a buzz, a chicken bus. And the vast majority of the lower classes don't even have umbrellas. So what do they use? A good old generic hefty garbage bag with a hole punched in for the head and for the arms. And it's quite a fashion statement when you see someone whipping down the street on a motorcycle wearing one of those garbage bags. Or two people on a motorcycle wearing two or just one garbage bag between them. There's a lot of that going around. Down here you just make do. That's why a great gift for one of your workers, the cleaning lady or the maintenance guy, is a bona fide umbrella. And like everywhere else in the world these days, Latin America is just flooded with cheap Chinese products. So you can buy a full-size crummy umbrella like that down here for like $3. But if you're an expat traveling and exploring, you don't want one of those for yourself. They're too big, bulky, and cheaply made, so forget about it. But they do make excellent gifts for locals if you're in a quandary about what to give them. Though basically, they could use about anything you could give them. Except, like Eddie says, a set of golf clubs. Because you see, once a few years back, Eddie bought a brand new set of Finalist clubs and gave his old set to the maintenance guy. And he did it because the maintenance guy took a great interest in his clubs. They were always hanging up in Eddie's garage. And every once in a while when Eddie would have his maintenance guy take them out and polish them, he noticed the guy was really enamored with them. He'd actually take a few swings once in a while and practice putting along the side of the house. And Eddie noticed and actually encouraged the guy. Then one day it came time for Eddie to buy some new clubs. At least he thought he needed new ones because he joined a brand new expensive country club. And believe it or not, every Latin country does have first world style country clubs. They have no public ones, they're always private. And they're only found in big populated areas and tourist areas. And basically, for Latins, joining a country club is a lot like having a bunch of bodyguards. It's almost always for show. For them, it's a lot like joining a health club. At first, you go a lot, and after a while, the desire peters out and you just quit going. It's not like in the States where you really have golf fanatics. Down here, it's not taken nearly as seriously as it is up in the first world. It's a rich man's sport down here, and you'll never catch a middle-class guy in the golf course, unless he's the caddy. Anyway, Eddie gave his old clubs, which were in perfect condition, to his maintenance man. Now, since there are no public golf courses in Latin America to speak of, and any kind of country club membership would cost at least 2 years' salary for the guy, there was no place for him to actually play golf. But he naturally accepted the gift anyway, and he was overjoyed. And about a year and a half later, Eddie's maintenance guy invited him to the 15 años party of his daughter, the 15-year party that all young Latin girls have, their introduction into adulthood. Kind of like a bar mitzvah. Anyway, Eddie, being the guy's boss for so many years, dropped off a gift and made an appearance. And as he walked through the living room of the tiny house, he noticed his old golf clubs. The bag was displayed prominently in the corner, with some bamboo and some dried flower arrangements sticking out of it, and the golf clubs themselves were fastened to the wall, a permanent decoration. They were mixed in on that wall with some framed diplomas of the guy's grade school and high school kids. And practically nothing surprises Eddie, but he did take a cell phone picture of it just to show me when he told me the story. Oh, and one more thing about that golf club that Eddie joined. I've gone out and shot a few rounds with him. And you know, it's like having your own private golf course because almost no one's ever out there. Like I said before, Latins aren't really serious about the game at all. For them, it's just another version of Gold's Gym, where only about 5% of the members become diehards. The rest just come to the clubhouse to have dinner and be seen once in a while, but they don't hit the course, which is very, very cool for gringos who are serious about it. So if you are a golf fanatic, go ahead and join one of these country clubs here. Joining is very cheap compared to first world prices. Besides that, they just love to have gringo members, and you'll practically have the whole course to yourself. And Eddie says because of that, the real problem is trying to find someone to go out and shoot with. Okay, enough about that. Let's get on with our packing list again. Now, another thing I often get asked about is the use of sunblock, what to use and what to carry. Well, you know, even here up in the Altiplano, where I love it so much, that's when the sun really is deceiving. Because, you see, when you're on the coast, when you're hanging around the beaches, you burn up fast, really fast. That's obvious because you're nearer the equator and the sun is more perpendicular. So the UV rays are penetrating through a smaller chunk of atmosphere. But when you're at sea level or at the beaches, it's always so damn hot, you know you're frying fast. And in just 20 minutes without a hefty sunblock, you're gonna burn. But you just don't feel it that much when you're in the Altiplano, so just be aware of it. And what sunscreens do I recommend? I say get two small 100 milliliter tubes or bottles of cheap, high SPF product, like a 30 or a 50 SPF. Pay attention to this very closely. If you take a 50 SPF generic no-name brand cream that you bought at the dollar store for $3 or $4, you can mix equal parts of your favorite cheap hand or skin lotion, and now you have double the volume of sunscreen at half the SPF rating. For example, if you have 100 milliliters of 50 SPF and you dilute it with an equal amount, 100 milliliters of an inexpensive hand lotion, now you've got 200 milliliters of SPF 25. Now, if you're thinking, don't try this at home, Johnny's a skin flint and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, as a matter of fact, I have a very good friend up in the States who's a chemist, who not only verified this, but he does it himself. He doesn't like to spend 15 or 20 bucks a bottle on suntan lotion either. So go ahead and try it. What have you got to lose? I do it all the time and I have a lot of expat friends who do the same. But if you don't mix it well and you get some blisters, don't think about suing me because down here in Latin America, there's still a huge lag time on frivolous lawsuits, which is a very good thing. Down here, it's buyer beware and no cup of coffee from McDonald's, whether hot or scalding, could ever be grounds for a lawsuit. They just laugh you out of court. And by the way, here's another little tidbit you probably didn't know about SPF and sunscreens. Now, most people, for example, think that if you have an SPF 30, it only blocks the sun half as good as an SPF 60. In other words, if you have a 60, you can stay out in the sun twice as long. And it sounds logical, right? But the assumption is all wrong. According to the American Society of Dermatologists, an SPF 30 blocks 97% of all UVB rays. Those are the rays that cause sunburn and skin damage. You got that? An SPF 30 product blocks 97%. So logically, you'd think that an SPF product of half that, SPF 15, would block about 43 or 44% of those UVB damaging rays, right? Well, you'd be completely wrong. A sunscreen with an SPF of 15 actually blocks 94% of UVB rays. And what does that mean? Well, like my buddy the chemist says, if you buy any sunscreen with an SPF greater than 50, and as you know, the greater the SPF, the greater the cost of the product. Anyway, you buy anything greater than SPF 50 and you're throwing your money down the toilet. In fact, he says if you buy anything over SPF 30, that's money in the crapper too. So again, my tip, buy two SPF 30s and dilute one of them with hand cream at the equal volume and you'll have an SPF 30 and double the amount of SPF 15. Now, if somebody wants to challenge me on that, be my guest, but that system's been working for me and a lot of my expat friends for years and years. Or you can spend 10 or 15 bucks and get yourself some genuine Hawaiian Tropic or Banana Boat sunscreen. Your call. Though I do have to admit, a bottle of genuine Hawaiian Tropic looks a lot cooler sitting next to my Mai Tai than a cheap knockoff brand. Oh, the price of being cool, huh? Oh, and you know another indispensable thing I have in my travel kit, if I didn't mention it already, is a very small flat pack of those moist handy wipe type towelettes. Just get the very smallest portable little plastic pack, which I think holds about 25. And sure, you could have those individually wrapped towelettes, but they're two or three times as expensive as the bulk pack. And that discussion leads us directly into T TP, toilet paper. Now, it's a delicate subject that not a lot of people like to talk about, but like expat Eddie says, after the next big financial crash, when, not if, that happens, TP will be as good as gold. It'll be preppers trading bullets for toilet paper. Especially after your People magazines and your Sunday funnies run out. But that's a problem for you first worlders up there. Anyway, you hear from a lot of backpackers especially how there's no toilet paper in a lot of the bathrooms down here in the third world. Well, that's true. So should you carry a roll around with you? Well, here's what I recommend. A roll of toilet paper is bulky, yet very essential, especially when you're traveling in the boonies and hanging around, you guessed it, backpacker places. Well, here's all you really need to do. You take a roll of toilet paper that's about 3/4 used already. Take the unused fresh part, not the used part. Then you just push on it with the heel of your hand and squish it down flat. And slip a few rubber bands around it to keep it that way. Then slip it into a small Ziploc freezer bag. And that's all you need to carry with you. Now, that little thing is good for 3 or 4 trips to the John. And they had to call it a John now, didn't they? Anyway, so even if you're stuck in a crummy $5 a night backpacker hotel, you'll be well supplied and probably can even share if you like. And the next day when you're out on the road, you just resupply. Down here, in all communities, big and small, there's a tienda or two or a bigger supermarket every couple of blocks. So you'll always be able to resupply. And yes, down here in Latin America, you can buy it by the roll. You don't need to buy a 12-pack. In fact, if you're a smoker and you want to buy an individual cigarette, you can buy them singly too. Most little stores sell all their products individually because in middle and lower class neighborhoods, the larger sizes and bulk packs of practically any item just aren't affordable. Oh, and by the way, a lot of seasoned expats I know who travel a lot always have 3 or 4 paper napkins neatly folded at all times. Now, paper napkins aren't a great substitute for TP, if that's what you think I'm getting at. But what I am saying is there are 101 uses for those things. For example, when you're in a restaurant, wiping off bottle tops and dinnerware that you don't trust, and of course for bathroom doorknobs. Basically, you use them for everything you'd use a regular Kleenex or a Scott tissue for, except they're about 10 times cheaper and available practically everywhere. In fact, I recommend that when you go to a restaurant, you ask the waiter or waitress for 3 or 4 napkins and stick them in a pocket before you leave. And don't get me wrong, it's not that you're too cheap to buy them. It's just that when you buy them in the grocery store, you gotta buy them in a gigantic pack. So make it a habit of sticking 4 or 5 of those in your pocket in every restaurant. I mean, it's not stealing. They're glad to give them to you. You're a customer, after all. And again, for the expat traveler, there's 101 uses for those things. Don't leave home without them.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. Coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.